Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, titled, Mary Doth Magnify the Lord. This is part 2 of 2. Don't you love hearing the sound of the little babies? I've had people say, oh, I'm sorry, making so much noise. And I said, I didn't hear anything but joy. That's a, the only thing I don't like to compete with is a screaming baby. Mariah's heard that all her life. That's why you always hear her running out with Gloria starts screaming. Screaming babies you can't compete with. But any of those other noises, it just makes it sound like home. Amen? And I mean when the babies make them, not when you make them. I don't want to hear you making those noises. Yeah, you start making those noises, we're going to ask you to leave. Well, Psalm 138, whoops, I'm there. Read verses 1 and 2. Let's read it together. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You get that? Thou hast magnified thy word. We're to magnify the Lord, and the Lord says, yeah, my name is holy, my name is above all names. Yes, he says all that, but he says, I magnify my word above my name. And we're criticized. I've had over the years, every few weeks it seems like, I get an email or something from somebody. Because on our website, we go to the statement of faith. The first thing on our statement of faith is about the Bible. And I say, well, the first thing on your statement of faith should be about God. And I said, no, it shouldn't. Because the only reason I can tell you anything about God is because of God's Word. And God Himself says He magnifies His Word above His name. So we start with the source. How do you know what I'm about to tell you about God is true? Because I've got God's Word. Amen. And so that's where we start our statement of faith. It starts with the Word of God. If you want to know why the churches are going to hell in a handbasket right now, is because they are not about God's Word. Amen. You go into some of those churches, they won't even crack the book open. They have a nice rock concert and everybody gyrating and running out or whatever, but nobody cracks the book open. And there's people who will tell you that that means that was a, oh, we had church today. It was so good they didn't even preach. That's what people will tell you. Because they're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That's why they tell you that. It's nutty. They're not reading that book either, because if they're reading that book Monday through Saturday, they come to church on Sunday wanting more of the book. So that tells you what they're living off the other 6 days of the week. So back to Luke 1:47. We understand you want to magnify the Lord. You magnify His Word. Amen. And she says, and my spirit hath rejoiced in who? God my Savior. Mary confesses, first of all, her need of a Savior from sin. There's a fake Mary out there. Just like there are fake Jesuses, fake Bibles, fake churches, fake preachers, there's even a fake Mary. It's the doctrines of Rome regarding Mary, and they are a lie. The Roman Catholic Church lies, and they lie about Mary. Here's some examples about Mary. They have this thing they call the Immaculate Conception. Now, the miraculous conception is about Jesus and how he was born of a virgin. That's true. But listen carefully. Miraculous conception, immaculate conception. Not the same thing, right? And I say that because there are people who say, oh, I believe in the immaculate conception. How can you not believe in it? And then I talk to them, I realize they're not talking about the immaculate. They're talking about the miraculous conception, which we agree on. The immaculate conception is that somehow Mary, who even though her mother was not a virgin, like Jesus' mother Mary was, Mary's parents were sinners. Yep. And they conceived through sexual intercourse, and so the baby that became Mary was conceived in sin. Amen. The Roman Catholic Church lies. And they tell everybody that she was conceived without original sin. This made it up. Right here, she admitted she needs a Savior.
Yep.
Why? Because she knows she's a sinner who needs to be saved. Mm-hmm. The second lie from Rome is the perpetual virginity. They want to turn her into some purest goddess. And they teach that after Mary had Jesus, she and Joseph never had sex. And she didn't have any other children. Some of you evidently have read your Bible. Because Jesus had brothers and sisters. And it's just a blatant lie. But back in the Dark Ages, even the Roman Catholic leaders and people never read the Bible. And there's very few people who had access to a Bible. So they could just make up anything. And everybody's like, oh, it's from the Holy Mother Church. Evidently, it's true. That's why Acts 17:11 is in the Bible. When somebody teaches that nonsense, you go look in here and say, wait a minute now. The third one I'll bring up is regarding Mary is the Assumption. Do you realize that they teach that just like Jesus ascended in Acts 1, that Mary ascended into heaven? That's found in the garbage can. It's not found in the Bible. It's a complete big... You just want to look at the Pope and say, liar, liar, dress on fire. Because he don't wear pants. What? Yes. Yeah, we're the Garbage Pail Bible. That's why they call it the Garbage Pail Bible. And Mary acknowledged that the Savior is God. And that separates us from false religions and cults like Islam. Islam says Allah had no son, and they deny that Jesus is God. The Jehovah's Witnesses say he was Michael the Archangel, who came as a man. He's not God. The Mormons say he's the offspring of a God who was once a man, whose God was once a man, etc. And this God now lives on Kolob, a planet out there that no one's ever seen, and all this stuff. But you don't have to know everything that every false religion and cult teaches and believes. You just have to understand if they deny that Jesus is God, it's a false religion. Yeah, it's the same thing, by the way, the Muslims did with Muhammad. Muhammad died and was buried, and yet they teach that he ascended to heaven, the Assumption of Muhammad. And so, you know, you just get used to it. If you don't believe the Bible, you'll fall for anything. You either believe the Bible or you'll fall for anything. Back to Luke 1 and 48. It says, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Again, she confesses her need of salvation and her faith in God's promises for her. And that's why Mary is so wonderful. That's why Mary is such a great example. But that's why anybody living almost anywhere on planet Earth today has to be urged to make a difference between our biblical Mary and the Roman Catholic cult Mary. Amen. And it's not just in Roman Catholic churches, by the way. The apparitions of Mary began at Fatima, which is around Muslims. And there are a lot of Muslims who are involved in this Mary stuff. But there's also Mormons, there's New Agers. I mean, it's this Mary worship. It's Wiccans, and people kind of borrow some of that because of the goddess worship and Gaia worship and all that. It's like Satan is setting up the world in this just an effeminate spirit. Jezebel spirit. Yeah, Charlie?
Was it Diana?
Diana. Yeah, Isis. Isis was the Egyptian version. I mean, it's just they have... And if you go in places where they had statues of Diana, it's the same statue, they just call her Mary now. And you go over here and there's an Isis statue, they now call Isis Mary in places like Egypt. Yeah, Lewis?
It comes part of our center room.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where it all started. It was in Babylon with Nimrod and the mother-child cult. And they have pictures of the lady holding the weird-looking little baby. Huh? Yes. Tammuz in the Old Testament, you read about her. They brought her into the temple. Yeah, nothing new under the sun, as Ecclesiastes says. The next verse, 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. See, she's magnifying the Lord, not herself. And she begins with God's holiness, not her own self-esteem or self-love, which is this generation's heresy. She begins with the holiness of God. And she says, basically, God is everything, and I am nothing except for Him. Amen. It is in Christ that you are something. It is not great am I. The women used to say, I am woman, hear me roar. You know, and I could say something very crude about that, which would be fitting, but I won't. But what a Christian woman says is what the rest of us say is not great as me, hear me roar. She says, greater is he that is in me. Verse 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And God does not save those with pride in their sin. You want one of the reasons why I have not wasted time going down to the pride parades is because it ends up just being a big dramatic show. They end up having to have the cops come and all that. Now, I'm not knocking you folks out there. If you do it, power to you. It's between you and the Lord. But people who have really bought into that, I mean, there's a reason why we're not seeing a lot of people saved these days. We're preaching the gospel. Same gospel. Same Holy Spirit. But the Bible says if you do not believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, it will not work in you. It only effectually works in those who believe it. And those who don't believe it, Jesus said in John 3:19, light has come into the world, but here's the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Deeds. Men and women in this generation are turning God away because they love their sin and they're taking pride in it. Used to be a day where you'd come up on somebody who's a drunk or an adulterer or whatever, and they would say, yeah, they hang their head. I know, I need. Well, you want to be saved? Oh, not today. And it would just blow your mind. Why not today? You just said you knew you were a sinner. You knew you need to be saved. Why not today? No, not today. You don't already see that anymore. Now it's arrogance and looking at you and say, who are you to say what I'm doing is wrong? Who are you to say it's not love? Men with men and women with women. Who are you to, you know, that's, well, and you respond correctly and say, well, I'm nobody, but the Bible says, God has said, well, I don't believe that book. That's just a bunch of stories by a bunch of holy men. You know, it's just man-made. You see it on social media all the time. You post something of the scripture or whatever, and their response is, the Bible is just another man-written book. It's written by men and blah, blah, blah. That's the generation we're in. And God will not save those with pride in their sin. Of course, in Mary, you see Jesus, and he grows up. What's he dealing with? A bunch of Jews called Pharisees who have made their traditions their authority and not the Bible. People call us Pharisees. It's totally absurd. We're not Pharisees because we call on sinners to repent and be saved. The Pharisees were not Bible believers. The Pharisees rejected the Bible and put their own tradition as their authority. So normally when someone looks at you and says, you're a Pharisee, they are the Pharisee. They are the one who has replaced God's Word with their own opinion. Jesus said, you have made the Word of God of none effect by your tradition. That's exactly what America is doing today. Amen. America is a nation of Pharisees and Sadducees. The Sadducees rejected the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They rejected miracles. And that's the typical American. They're Darwinian, materialists, and they reject the supernatural. And so when Jesus came, as we've talked about in the last few weeks, there was not a great revival. They killed him. And there were a few thousand people saved at Pentecost, and there were pockets of great moves of God, and there were local churches planted all over the Roman Empire, and they killed them. Sometimes by the hundreds, sometimes by the thousands. All the apostles except John was murdered. And we're getting back to that. As a matter of fact, we can only hope that the rapture takes place before it gets worse than here in America, because they're killing them all over the world. We talked about that Wednesday. If you didn't see our Wednesday message, pre-trib persecution 2019, you ought to watch it. We showed what's going on around the world. But I'll tell you this, if whether it hits America as bad as it is in other countries or not, after that rapture, it's going to get ugly. You better be saved and ready to go. Because after the rapture, then all hell is going to break loose. 144,000 marked Jews, 12,000 from all 12 tribes, all going to be murdered. And most of their converts, if they won't take the mark, they will be beheaded and murdered. That's what's coming. That's where we're heading. We've got it so easy now. But people are not recognizing it, not taking advantage of it. And it's pride. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. That tells you why the rapture hasn't happened yet. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what?
Repentance.
Repentance. In this generation, you can't even get guys to preach repentance. That's how bad it's getting. Verse 51, if you're in Luke 1, read it with me. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. There is again pride. The proud will not be saved. And Mary was an example of humility. So Mary is an example of the opposite of the God rejector, the Christ rejector, the heretic, the false teacher, the apostate, who is so full of pride. You just can't reach him. Mary was an example of humility. 52 and 53, read those. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good tidings, good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. Now, we're going to spend just a couple of minutes on this. Being poor doesn't save you. And neither does being rich damn you. But that just happens to be how it shakes out most of the time. But they're not saved by being poor. It just so happens to be that most saved people are poor. And you're not saved or damned. The rich man lift up his eyes in hell, not because he's rich, but because his heart was not right with God. And it showed in what he did with his riches. Amen? Look over 1 Corinthians 1 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 23-31. I'll start reading verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. We already discussed why it's foolishness to them. We're mostly surrounded by what you would call Greeks, unless you're in Bexley. That's where you would be surrounded by more Jews. Read verse 24 with me. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now he says, why? Verse 25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You see that? Verse 26, read it. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You go up to Washington, D.C., go to the U.S. Senate, go to the U.S. Congress, go to the Supreme Court, go to the executive building in the White House, very few Christians. Go to the United Nations Assembly, very few Christians. Go to the big meetings of the big organizations around the world, Very few Christians. Verse 27 says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." And that's been the case of the Christian church. As a matter of fact, whenever organizations get too powerful and too much money, they do what Voice of the Martyrs has done. Build $25 million headquarters. They do what those TV preachers do and buy their own jets. You know, they do those things. Why? Because they're functioning like a business and not like God would have them function. And eventually, they just become nothing but a religious business. Yep. They're not a church, they're not a real ministry, and they're not real preachers.
Amen. Just an office.
Yeah. Read verse 28 with me. "And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." I mean, that should be my life verse right there, because I really... You know, I don't want to sound like I've got a martyr complex or anything, but I've just gone through life since being a Christian being despised.
Yeah. Amen.
And I know I am.
Amen.
I've had some people tell me so, but others just the way they treat me and the way they act. I know I'm despised.
Yep. Amen.
If I was despised because I was just a big fat jerk, that'd be bad. But when you're despised because you won't go along with sin, won't go along with the world, won't go along with a false gospel, and won't go along with this apostate version of Christianity, despise me.
Amen.
Why? Why does he work that way? Verse 29, "that no flesh should glory in his presence."
Amen.
None of us saved people are going to have any reason to get up in front of God and glory. Read verse 30 and 31 with me. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Amen. That's what we want to be about. Not just BBF, I mean you, me, individuals. When you walk out that door, you're driving around in your car, you're at work, you're in your home, wherever you're at, people don't think, look at you and think of Bible Believers Fellowship. They think of you.
Yeah.
And when they think of you, you ought to try to magnify the Lord in your life.
Amen.
"He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord."
Amen.
That is what it's all about. Amen.
Amen.
So we close out the study these last two verses. It says, "He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." This is Mary's words, inspired of the Lord, "as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." So Mary confirms the dispensational truth about Israel. And any teacher that undermines these truths is a liar.
Amen.
And that's where we're going to pick up in our next study, but I want to close with this factual thought, and that is this: God's promises are sure.
Amen.
And God's people are secure.
Amen.
Mary is facing, if you're paying attention and you're putting yourself in her sandals, think of on a human level how scary.
Yes.
You women, carrying a baby is scary. Amen? How many of you found out you was pregnant and thought, "Well, I've got this figured out"? No, especially that first one. And this is Mary's first one, and not only is she carrying a baby, it's God in human form. She's going to be carrying the Son of God in her womb. And yet, she is simply, as we studied in our previous messages, she just said, "Be it unto me according to thy word."
Amen.
She had the confidence in God's promises because she knows that last statement.
Amen.
Not all God's people have this assurance, and that's why they're like this, up and down throughout their life. They never really steady out and serve the Lord. They're always up on the mountain and down in the... And there's churches, whole churches like that, because they have their people wondering if they're saved every week.
Yeah.
Every week when they come to church. A lot of them, sometimes they go to certain churches, and every week when they come to church, they get saved again.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a contest. How many times you've been saved? 45. And not all those people are lost. Some of them are saved, they just don't have the assurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's where good, sound Bible teaching comes in, because God's people are secure. That doesn't cause a real saved Christian, one of God's people, that doesn't mean they say, oh, well, now I'll sin like the devil. No, because you know God can kill you.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
And you know that if you do that, you're going to lose your reward. You're going to stand up in heaven in front of all the saints. It'll be more important than anything. You get married and you stand in front of a bunch of people, or you graduate and you walk up and you get your, you know, there's times where we're being looked at by maybe a few dozen, few hundred, even few thousand people at one time. Man, the judgment seat of Christ will blow that away.
Amen.
And if you're saved and you don't live for the Lord and you dabble in sin, you're going to stand up there and look like an idiot in front of all the saints and angels and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. What a thing. So a secure, saved Christian looks at God's Word and says, man, I want to glorify God. I want to magnify the Lord. I want to be like Mary. I want to be like Paul. I want to be like, fill in the blank of the good, wonderful saints we read about there. So that's what we're going to pick up in our next study. And I give a couple minutes. We have a few minutes. We can have a few questions or comments or anything you want to add before we close it up as I reach for my hymn book. Anybody want to say anything or ask any questions? Dan?
What's the best way to answer somebody? It's Psalm 138, the first verse. I will praise thee with my whole heart before thee, God.
Well, that's an acknowledgement. First of all, the word God's, G-O-D-S, with a small g, you have to remember that's really a term that they used more broadly than we do in English. They actually referred to leaders, judges, people like that. So in a sense, whenever we praise the Lord and we magnify the Lord and magnify His Word, and we do it in a consistent and shameless public way, not ashamed of the gospel, preaching the gospel, it's before God's in that sense. But it's also true that the word God's is used of what we could call devils. And the devils themselves see and hear as we magnify the Lord. So it's a twofold answer to that.
Oh.